Ephesians 5, and we're going to start reading verse 22 through 24. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible there close to you, in front of you, in the rack underneath the chair. And I know I've said this before, but let me say it again. I remind you, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to go ahead and take one of those with you. That's our gift to you, and we want you to be able to take that and use that. So Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, and then you might want to just go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 3 as well. You can stick a finger in there, hold your place, or if you want to stick a piece of paper in there, whatever. But 1 Peter chapter 3, because we'll be getting to that a little bit later in our message, and I will remind you of that as well. One of the things that I do anytime that I marry a couple is I require them to go through premarital counseling. Some of you probably have done that as well. You understand that. But quite honestly, I'm just being upfront with you. I won't marry anyone unless they're willing to do that. It's that important for me when I perform a couple's marriage to make sure that I if I could say it this way, help start them on the right foot, right? And obviously, when we do our premarital counseling, we go through the role of a husband and the role of a wife. And you know, last week, I know some of you weren't here last week, but we talked about the role of the husband. And so this week, we're going to talk about the role of the wife and what it means to be a godly wife and what the Bible says about the wife's role. And one of the things that we do talk about in premarital counseling is exactly what the Word of God says here this morning in our passage today, is the fact that God tells wives that they are to submit to their husbands. Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. God's Word says this: "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And then let me just remind you, because I think it's important for us to remember also what we talked about last week in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That is part of it, obviously, as well. But I know that when I talk about this with those that I am doing premarital counseling with, I get a different sort of reaction from the husband and from the wife-to-be sometimes. The husband-to-be, I feel like when I look at him and I'm talking about this or I'm telling them, hey, next week we're going to talk about the role of the wife, we're going to talk about how a wife is to submit to her husband, the husband has this look in his eyes like, yeah, get her, pastor, tell her how she's supposed to submit to me, you know? And then yet there's some of those husbands that, like, they're clueless, right? They have no idea what I'm talking about. And then when it comes to the wife-to-be, sometimes I get this look of surprise or a sheepish look or maybe a raising of the eyebrows, so to speak, or just kind of this curiosity of maybe where I'm going, almost to the point where maybe they become a little bit uncomfortable or maybe even borderline irritated. Now, I say that because I believe the reason for those responses many times or those kind of reactions that I may get initially is because neither one of them really understands what biblical submission is and what it isn't. You see, that's really important for us to know. When it comes to the role of the wife, it's important for us to know what exactly does God say in His Word about it. Because there may even be couples here today, some of you that may have been married for a really long time, even at this point in your lives, and maybe you still don't understand what it means. Maybe you're still struggling with what God says about wives being submissive to their husbands, and some of you ladies, maybe even right now, you're kind of almost starting to bristle a little bit too about it. Because you're thinking, okay, where are you going with this, Pastor? Because I'm afraid sometimes some ladies may feel like, well, if I submit to my husband, then that makes me a lesser person. Or in other words, I kind of lose my identity. And then there's others that think, well, submission must mean then that I have to wait hand and foot on my husband and I have to do everything that he asks me to do. Well, hey, I'm trusting after we're done here this morning that you'll have a greater understanding what it means for wives to submit to their husbands and what it also does not mean for a wife to submit to her husband. And that's my goal this morning, that we, as those of you who are married, that you would understand and that you would be able to practice what that means in your marriage, so that your marriage, and what we're talking about in our series, that we have families that are being built right for the glory of God. And I know some of you are not married, and some of you were married, and I get that. But as you even are sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, I guess this really doesn't apply to me. And as I said from the very beginning, there is always something in God's Word that God will use even in your life. Even through a message like this, you might be surprised. And not only that, those of you that aren't, you can pray for the married couples in this church, and you can be a source of encouragement to them as well. So it's good. Or get this, some of you may be married yet. You don't even know that yet this time. You might be. And so it's important for us, when we look at the Word of God, that we're teaching and preaching the entire counsel of God's Word, right? We can't just leave out some things because maybe they don't apply to everyone, but I know this message this morning is a little bit more specific, obviously, when we're looking at the role of the wife. So we're going to start off, and we're going to ask this question this morning, or really, what is biblical submission for the wife? What does it mean? Now, you may have done this before, and if you're not careful, many of us can do this, that when we look at Scripture, sometimes even we as believers, we want to discount or explain, I guess I could say it this way, Scripture away if it doesn't match the way of our thinking or if it doesn't match what the culture says, right? We know that. We've all maybe been there at some point in time. Does God really mean this? Does he really mean what he's saying here? Do I really have to obey this? Have you ever done that before? And see, when we look at the role of the wife and when we look at this passage this morning, this is especially true sometimes of this particular passage. And I believe the reason why some Christian ladies might struggle with these verses is because it is so contrary to what the world says a wife is to be. In other words, it is so contrary to what the culture screams out to you ladies and telling you what you ought to be as a wife and what your role is in the home. So if you're a Christian wife this morning, you want to know what the Word of God says, right? Amen? I hope. You want to be clear about that. And see that the truth of the matter is this. Since creation, God has always established a chain of command in Scripture which teaches us the authority and submission, and it's consistently applied throughout Scripture. We see it time and time again. You say, oh yeah, Pastor, where do you see that? Well, look at the verse before, verse 22, which is verse 21, right? What does it say? Submitting to one another out of reverence for God. Do you know, even as believers, that we are called to submit to one another? This isn't just a call for women or a call just for wives. God says, even as His children, that you and I are to submit to one another. In Luke 2:51, the same word is used for Jesus submitting to His parents. And there's another passage in Luke chapter 10, 17 and 20. It describes the fact that demons being subject to the disciples. In Romans 8, 7, we are told as God's people that we are to submit to God's law. And then in Romans 13, 1 and 5, we are even instructed to be subject to the government, which is even established by God. So when we look at this word submission this morning, I want us to understand that it means, and you're going to say, well, duh, I kind of know that already, but it means to subject oneself, not by compulsion. I want you to hear this closely. Subjecting oneself, not by compulsion, but voluntarily placing oneself underneath someone else's authority. We do that at work all the time. We even do that within the church when it comes to elders and the church. We do that. You think about it, you do that all the time. You submit to the authority that's over you. You submit to the authority that's over you by driving the speed limit. Well, that might be for some of you and not for all of you, right? But you do. You follow the laws. What are you doing when you're doing that? You're submitting to the authority that's over you. So with that definition in mind, let's go back again. I want to read the verses again. Verse 22, Ephesians 5. I know we just read it, but I want to read it again. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands to the Lord. For the husband is the head of wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Titus 2:5, listen to this. We're to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. See, so when I'm telling you this morning, it isn't like, you know, I'm saying this from my own, you know, way of thinking or my own perspective and saying, wives, submit to your husbands. No. That's not coming from me. That's coming from what the Word of God says. This is God's plan, and it is His role for those of you who are wives. So God has made this plan. It is the way that He has established the authority in the home for the function of glorifying His name. And that's what we're trying to do, right? We talked about the role of the husband last week. We talked about the role of the wife this week. We're going to talk about kids next week. And we're all talking about these ways in which we can glorify God within our families. And so it does not mean, wives, and I want you to understand this, because when we get to the part where we study what submission is not, it does not mean, ladies, that you are inferior to your husbands. I want you to get that kind of in your mind even now. But it is God's design for a wife to, listen, here comes again, to voluntarily place herself under the authority of a loving husband, and it is out of obedience to Christ. Ultimately, that's who you're doing it for. You're doing it for your husband, I get that, because you love your husband and you care about your husband, but ultimately, why are you following God's design plan for your role in your marriage? It's because you're doing it out of obedience for God, right? It's because you're wanting to please God. Because as we just read in several verses, this is God's plan for the role of a wife. Galatians 3:28. Makes an interesting statement, and it tells us that spiritually there is no difference between male and female. Even when, and I didn't mention this yet, but even when Jesus submits to the Father, did not mean that Jesus was inferior, but rather they were equals. But guys, can I just remind you, kind of like what we talked about last week, it means that you don't have a license, listen guys, to be a taskmaster either. You see, we need to remember, gentlemen, that our God-given role is to love our wives. And what does the Bible say? That you and I are not to be harsh with them. See, I truly believe, and I'm not going to re-preach my sermon from last week, obviously, but I truly believe when a husband loves his wife, and that's why I wanted to remind us of verse number 25, when a husband loves his wife like Christ loves the church, and ladies, If you want to talk about this later with me, that's fine. But listen, a wife that does know that she is well-loved wants to please and obey God, right? And does not have a problem with submitting to his leadership in the home unless that husband is asking her to do something that violates Scripture. So that means, guys, we need to love right. We need to love in a godly way. We need to love as Jesus loves us. And God's Word says that this loving relationship, and I want to mention to you again, is to imitate the relationship that Jesus has with His people and how He loves His people. Maybe you can think of it this way. Your marriage and my marriage is to be a beautiful picture of the gospel on display. It's to be a beautiful picture of the gospel to a watching world that sees your marriage and sees that each of you are fulfilling the God-given duty that He has given to you in your marriage. Paul writes that a wife's submission is to be fitting in the Lord in Colossians 3:18. You say, well, what does that mean? It's a necessary duty. It's a necessary duty that all Christian wives have toward God, not according to what the culture says today, because the culture is going to tell you something that is very opposite of that, and I think you understand where I'm coming from there. But see, the command that Paul was prescribing from God was even radically different from the ancient world. You see, when Paul writes this, let me tell you something. And maybe you don't realize this, but I'm going to read a quote for you in a moment, what it was like in the ancient world for women. But when Paul writes this, he is absolutely rocking the culture. He is going against the grain of even his own culture in this time. Because the gospel brings freedom. The gospel does bring equality for wives. William Barclay, he's a commentator, and he writes this about how wives were treated in the ancient world. Listen to what it says, ladies. I want you to hear this clearly because I want you to see how the gospel changes everything. He says this, under Jewish law, a woman was a thing. And we could stop there, and some of you ladies are already like, are you kidding me? But they were considered, he says, a thing. She was a possession, check this out, of her husband just as much as his house or his flocks or his material goods were. She had no legal right whatever. And he goes on and he says, for instance, under Jewish law, a husband could divorce his wife for any cause while a wife had no rights whatsoever in the initiation of divorce. So, I mean, I take that to mean that if I'm not real pleased or happy with my wife one day, off with you, you know? I'm divorcing you. You're just a possession. Did you hear what he's... You're just a possession anyways. As I get rid of my sheep, I will get rid of you, lady. Basically what he's saying. And then he goes on, he says, listen to this, not only in Jewish culture, but in Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. How would you like that? She never appeared on streets alone, not even going to marketing. Couldn't go get a grocery store. You couldn't go out and get your Starbucks. You couldn't do any of that. She lived in the woman's apartments and did not join her menfolk even for meals. He goes on, from her there was demanded a complete servitude and chastity, but her husband could go out as much as he chose. He could enter in as many relationships outside of the marriage as he liked and incur no stigma. So both under Jewish and under Greek laws and customs and all privileges belong to the husband and all the duties to the wife. Now, how would you like to live in that time, ladies? No. I wouldn't think so. I can tell you one lady that would not. And see, you see the difference now, don't you? You see what's going on here, what Paul is saying? And he's writing and he's telling us this isn't right. Basically, it's what he's writing. He's telling the churches, this is not right. We see the difference between then and now according to God's law and how the gospel has changed that drastically in a marriage relationship. I love what John Piper does in defining submission in his book, Momentary Marriage. He says this, and I think this is a great definition, and then we're going to look at what biblical submission is not. But he says and writes, submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. By the way, let me stop there, men. Your wife has a lot of gifts. Use them. Use them as a part of your family and a part of raising your children. Defer to your wife when you are weak in an area and you know she's your helpmate. Use the helpmate God has given to you. Amen? Yeah, come on. Some of you are saying, oh me. And he goes on to say, Piper says, it's the disposition to follow a husband's authority and an inclination to yield to his leadership. It's an attitude that says, I delight for you to take the initiative in our family. I am glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. I don't flourish in the relationship when you are passive and I have to make sure the family works. You see, guys, when we do that, that is not fair to our wives. When we kind of check out, so to speak, when we're not fulfilling our role as a husband, do you think that's fair to your wife to pick up the slack and do everything? No, it's not. That's not biblical submission. That's not the way God intends the family to work and to function for His glory. So now that we've kind of seen or get an idea of what submission is, let's look at 1 Peter, okay? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I want you to see what submission, biblical submission, is not for a wife. And I think some of you ladies and some of you guys are going to be kind of surprised by what we see here and understand here. Look at verses 1 through 6, 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, and see, Peter says the same thing as Paul, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. So when we look at what biblical submission is not, first of all, in verse number 1, ladies, submission does not mean agreeing with everything your husband says. Now, some of you guys don't like that. I get it. But some of you also know the reality of that. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Peter says that this wife, if you notice the context, let's keep it in context, this wife who is a Christian and the husband is not, right? That's what he says. So obviously, it is a call to be a submissive wife while assuming she will not submit to his view of what? The most important thing in the world, that being God. She's a Christian, he is not. In other words, she's given her life to the Lord, she's following the Lord, but her husband is not. So submission then, when you think about this now, and deduct the reasoning here, submission can't mean submitting to agree with everything your husband thinks. Because if this lady agreed with everything her husband thinks, then she would not be a Christian and following Jesus when he is not. But Scripture still requires her to submit whether she agrees or not. Listen, guys, husbands, just because, get this through, as I have to as well, get this through our thick heads, Just because your wife doesn't always agree with you doesn't mean that she is not submitting to your authority. There will be times, and those of you that have been married for a long time, those of you who are married, maybe you're not married now, whatever the case may be, there will be times, and you can say an amen on this, when sometimes you've got to agree to disagree. Sometimes there's compromise that's made in marriage. But can I just say this? But a godly wife will defer to her husband's authority. By the way, who is ultimately responsible for the family, let him lead when a final decision needs to be made, as long as that decision is not sinful. Jim Newcomer, some of you remember Jim and Lori Newcomer came to our church. We did a marriage conference many years ago. One of the things that Jim said, one of the things that I wrote down, he said that I thought was so good when it came to marriage, it's not about winning. If you don't exhibit Jesus, you lost. It's true. So it doesn't mean, ladies, that you're always going to agree with your wife, or excuse me, your husband. Number two, submission does not mean leaving your brain or your will at the altar. I feel like sometimes when I do premarital counseling, that's what some of the young ladies think. But it's not true. It is not the inability or unwillingness to think for yourselves, ladies. You have a mind. God's given you a brain. You use your mind, you use your brain for the glory of God. And see, when we're looking at this passage, this is a woman who has heard the gospel, as I said, decides to follow Jesus with her life. The husband, I think we can conclude, has heard it as well. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said he disobeyed the word. She chose Christ, he did not. She thought for herself and she acted. Peter doesn't say for her to retreat from that commitment that she's made from the Lord to the Lord. She didn't leave her brain or her will at the wedding altar, no. She used her own brain. She made the decision to follow Jesus even though her husband did not. So when you're talking about submission, it doesn't mean that you don't have a will or you cannot think for yourself anymore in submitting to your husband. Number three, submission does not mean avoiding every effort to change a husband. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Look at verse number one. Let's read it again. Look what it says. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won, check that out, the last part of that verse, without a word by the conduct of their lives. What is the whole point of this passage? It is to tell a wife how to win her husband to Christ, right? The whole point. And so, if you believe what the Bible says, you can conclude then that submission is sometimes a way of being able to change your husband. See, ladies, it's like this. As you're submissive to your husband for the glory of God, in obedience to God, your submission can make a huge impact on him and ultimately change him to become a better husband and a better leader in your home. Maybe you've never thought about that before. And as the text teaches, if your husband is an unbeliever, your submission may be instrumental in leading him to Christ. That's how much of an impact that you can make on your husband by just being obedient to what God says. Number four, submission does not mean putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. You see, the text is stating that the wife is a follower of Jesus, we've established that, before and above being a follower of her husband. In other words, submission to Jesus. And this is for all of us. Trump's submission, ladies, to husbands, as it does to governments, as it does to employers, and even sometimes parents. You're submissive to Christ, first and foremost. Number five, submission does not mean that a wife gets her personal spiritual strength primarily through her husband. Now, ladies, I want to encourage you with this because sometimes maybe you are kind of leaning this way that you're counting on your husband for all your spiritual strength. That's not really what the Bible teaches, and I think that's what we see in verses 3 through 5 as well. A good husband, what does a good husband do? A good husband always seeks to build up his wife. He's always to be a constant strength for her. That's a good husband. A good husband wants to be, if I could say it this way, I mean, Jesus is the ultimate rock, all right, for your wife, but a good husband wants to be a rock for his wife, a shoulder to cry on, whatever the case may be. But this is a reminder that when a husband's spiritual strength is not up to par, a Christian wife is not left without strength. So see, guys, that's why it's so important that you and I are up to par when it comes to spiritual life. That means, you know what, guys? That means that we need to be the spiritual leader that God's called us to be. Now, our wife and her spiritual strength does not, as I said, totally depend on us. But see, when yours is lacking, that is not helping the family at all. In fact, I would say that's even weakening the family. She's not relying on you to supply all of her strength and faith and character. In fact, the text assumes the opposite. Her strength comes from God, and it comes from His power. Verse 5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husband. This is how they hoped in God. In other words, she does not develop depth and strength and character from her husband, but rather she does it for her husband. And see, we know that because of the passage that we're looking at. For wives with unsaved husbands, it's for the purpose, right, of them coming to know Christ. For wives with Christian husbands, it serves as a reminder to rely on the Lord, ladies, and draw your strength from Him. Now, certainly, guys, we have to step up and we need to be the spiritual leader, as I said, and we need to provide strength and fortitude spiritually for our families, but she is not all dependent upon your strength, nor should she be. She needs to rely on the Lord and His strength. And you should encourage her to do that. Number six, last one. Submission does not mean that a wife is to act out of fear. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, submission is free and submission is not coerced. You guys, you know, you're not supposed to sit there and beat down your wife and say, woman, submit to me, right? No. It's not to be coerced. The Christian woman is a free woman, unlike, remember what we read about the ancient women of their times in Paul's writing? The gospel has set you free. The gospel has set you free to obey. The gospel has set you free to be able to submit to your husband in a godly way. So when you submit to your husband, whether believer or unbeliever, you submit out of freedom in Christ and not in fear. And see, that's what we have to remember. So ladies, I hope you find these truths to bring freedom to your life as a wife. I hope that you understand that God has given you a beautiful role to play in order to display again to the world a great picture of the gospel and to bring Him glory. And I want to encourage you with this thought. May you always view your submission as an act of obedience to God and not a burden. And I'm afraid sometimes that's what a lot of ladies do. They view it more as a burden rather than, hey, you know what? When I am submitting properly to the leadership of my husband in the home, I'm doing that for the glory of God. I'm doing that out of obedience to God because I want to please God. Every time you do that, what are you doing? You're choosing to obey God and you're choosing to please God. Because your allegiance and love is always to Christ first and then it's to your husband. So being loyal to Christ, loving Him first. Listen, I think if you kind of keep this in your minds, if you're loyal to Christ and loving Him first, I think it will naturally result into voluntary submission to your husband. As I said, gentlemen, and that means that you're loving your wife properly. If you are an evil taskmaster, if you are demanding and you are beating down your wife is going to have a very difficult time in submitting to you in your leadership in the home. Isn't God awesome? He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. As I said, it is His plan. I didn't sit in my office this past week and come up with this stuff on my own. This is His plan. This is His design. And so it's interesting how that happens. It's the same thing when we get to kids next week, how God has designed the home to function in a way that not only brings Him glory, but also brings peace and rest to your family. Doesn't mean you never have problems. It doesn't mean you never go through challenges. In this life, you will. But we always have to land back on what Scripture says, right? We always have to come back to, okay, maybe I'm not fulfilling my role as I should be in a God-pleasing way. Remember what I told you at the end of my message last week? I said, it needs to start with each of us first looking within ourselves, examining our own heart before the Lord, right? Making sure that we're doing what God's called us to do. That goes for the husband and wife. That goes for children. And I feel like, not that you won't ever have any issues or any problems in your life, but I honestly believe, because we're obeying God's word, right? We're doing what God tells us to do, that God is going to bring blessing to a home that does that and properly fulfills their roles for His glory. So may God give our families that grace and that strength to be able to do so. See, one of the reasons why I wanted to go through a series on the family is because of something that I've said many times. Our church will never be any stronger than the families we have in it. So where do we need to start? We need to start with the family. And the beautiful thing is, when the family is rock solid, that has a way of trickling down, right, into all areas of life and even into the life of the church itself. So may God help us to be able to do that faithfully for His glory. May God help us to do that so we can be an example, right, to these young people that are coming up through the ranks, that one day, Lord willing, they might have a partner in marriage. And then also, let's be praying for one another that we will be rock solid in our families. Father, thank You again so much, Lord, for this day. And thank You, God, that You are a faithful God. Thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning. Lord, we know sometimes it's not easy to hear these things. And we know sometimes we fall short. But God, my prayer would be that we would recognize the things that You have spoken to us about this morning. And if change needs to take place, that we will change. Lord, if we need to go home in our families and we need to make apologies, that we apologize and we give forgiveness where it is needed. God, I pray that You would help the families of Wellspring Bible Church to be rock solid. Lord, help us to strive to please You. And yes, Lord, as we have those challenges that arise in our families, God, help us to face them in a God-glorifying way and follow what Your word tells us to do. Now, please, Lord, give us the grace and strength to be able to do that. In Christ's name, amen.